Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch, as you always are, here on Fridays, live at 11 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, of course, and wherever you're at in the world listening. Welcome, everybody. It's so nice to have you, as always. Every week, I try to bring you some insight into helping you understand certain things about yourself and why we do the things we do, just based on my teachings. I'm not your therapist, guys, and we don't have a relationship in terms of therapy, but you know what I try to do is just bring to light some of the ideas and some of the research, you know, that I've explored, and just help you out in your daily life. So today we're talking about a subject that I one of my favorites that I love to talk about, and it's overcoming the fear of death, basically. And also understanding some of the experiences that certain people have had, particularly my guest, who I'm going to be talking to in just a bit on the show, near-death experiences and shared death experiences. A lot of people trying to, you know, empirically explain this away to certain things happening in our brains, right? The result of oxygen deprivation of a critically ill patient. You know, some of the scholars and the scientists. And but there is something about the shared death experience, or SDE, as we recall, that now this can't be happening. You know, this, yes, maybe the oxygen deprivation is happening in a person who is passing on to the other side, but the fact that we can actually share in these experiences, and I've read a lot about people who have gone there with their loved ones or other people at the same time when they've passed this plane, and what that's all about. And this is pretty much left up to scientific as well. It's not, you know, a lot of times I have people call in and say, oh, you just cover too many spiritual and out there topics on your show. You're a psychologist. You should be focusing on more empirically based information. Well, I do. And this is. And the more I read, the more we can't explain. And that's why we have to keep exploring. And that's exactly what I'm going to be doing today with my guest. And we're going to be talking about her amazing new book. Let me just tell you about who she is, first of all. Her name is Dr. Sharon Prentice. She's a PhD. And her book's called Becoming Starlight, A Shared Death Journey from Darkness to Light. And it's, you know, written about her journey and exploration, some of the losses she's, you know, had to deal with in her life. We all have to deal with those, and how she got through them and what she learned from them. And soon after completing her graduate studies in psychology, Dr. Sharon Prentice wanted to discover the whys about her own intimate experience with death in the form of an SDE, shared death experience, and that of others who'd experienced something weird or unbelievable or odd at the time of death of a loved one. And Dr. Prentice is a professional member of the American Counselors Association, a professional clinical member of the National Christian Counselors Association, a clinical member of the American Mental Health Counselors Association, and a president member of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And, of course, she's also a commissioned minister of pastoral care. We talk about religion also, you know, in her book, or she does, actually. I'm just sort of incorporating myself into this. We talk about it in her book. But you'll really enjoy hearing more, you know, about what Sharon has to say. So let's bring her on the air right now, and we'll talk about her book. Sharon, thank you so much for coming on the couch today.
Oh, hey, you're so welcome. I'm really glad to be here with you to talk about all of this.
Wow. I loved your book. I sort of couldn't put it down, and it's a real comfortable read, and it's a lovely journey that you take us through about some of the experiences
It was a hard journey. It's a hard journey, but I'm not the only person in the world that, you know, has ever had it. A lot of people out there go through the same things.
Boy, we sure do, don't we, huh? So just getting down to it here, Sharon, why did you write this book?
A couple of reasons. Mm-hmm. Becoming Starlight is really my own life and death struggle with spiritual darkness, death, loss of faith, the whole thing. So by way of explanation, I work with seriously ill terminal patients and their families and extended family. And sooner or later in this process, someone always asks me, should I be afraid? And the only way that I know to answer that question is to tell them my story.
Yes.
So for years, I have told each and every one of them my story. I do something that no one's supposed to do. I'll crawl up into their bed with them and grab hold of them and whisper to them. And I say, let me tell you a story. And I don't care. Yeah, I mean, because you have to. This is such an intimate thing. And I will tell them from start to finish. And the reason I do that is after they say, should I be afraid?
Right.
They have all said to me, thank you for telling me your story. Can you write it down? I want to have this with me.
Yes.
So that I can refer to it when you're not around.
Right.
It's, you know, sometimes most of the people that I deal with have cancer. And sometimes those voyages are very, very short, but sometimes they're long.
Yes.
And I'm not with these people every single day. And instead of calling me all the time, they've said, write it down, write it down, write it down. So I did. And the second reason that I wrote it, which is probably the primary reason, is because the loves of my life that this book is about, they mattered.
Yes.
And
yes, absolutely.
Even though they weren't here very long, their lives mattered, and their deaths changed my life and the life of my entire family. So that's why Starlight is actually out there. I wanted to help my patients, and by doing that, it seems to have a lot of people are identifying with it because there's so much pain out there and so much fear of death that people are really relating to the story.
Yes, that's beautifully put, Sharon. Love that. You know how the universe opens up to us when we're sort of asking for things, right?
Yeah, it really does. And what you said there is, you know, I don't know if you, of course you realize this, but I didn't realize it. You have to put it out there. And if you don't ask for it, if you're afraid of asking the universe for what you need, you're not going to get it until it slams you in the face and leaves you lying in the muck like it did me because I didn't ask for it.
Gosh, I hear you. And it's sort of why. That's when we begin our journey to search why.
Yes, it is.
It is.
But you have to be, you know what, you have to be brave enough to start that journey. And I wasn't brave.
Oh.
Trust me, I was not brave. I was the biggest coward in the entire world. I didn't want to look at it. I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't want to deal with it. I didn't want to accept it, even while it was all happening to me, because I didn't know what to do with it.
Yes, I hear you. Exactly. I want to invite you all out there, if you'd like to call in, and if you have a question for a Sharon Prentice, PhD, Dr. Sharon, you can give us a call if you'd like to do so. It's 323-203-0815. Of course, also, I have a lot of you listeners out there. Love it. You're writing me here, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. I always love your input while we're live on the air. And also, if you have any questions, you're a little shy to get your voice on the radio, that's cool. Just email me, and I'll put it out there, and I'll ask Dr. Prentice. She's the expert.
That works.
All right. So, what I was going to say, I just kind of threw this out there. I was literally walking out the door to come to the studio today, and my home phone rang, which is bizarre. I rarely get calls, you know, unless it's a solicitor or my husband who is out of the country. And I thought, oh, that's him, because it was sort of a weird number, and I picked up. And it was a woman who said to me, dear, would you do something for me? And I thought, who the heck is this? She said, keep the women in mind who I work with right now who are suffering from breast cancer. Keep them in mind.
Oh my goodness.
When you have your daily journey today. And I went, who is this? And she was a fundraiser. And, you know, it's like,
right.
Okay, right. She said, they're suffering right now. Just keep them, mm-hmm. you know, and call me back and let's see what we can do to put something together. And I'm, okay, perfect. That works. I'm talking to Dr. Prentice today about faith and hope and, you know, the fear we have going into the darkness. And it's really not dark, is it?
No.
Yeah.
No. It is exactly the opposite. You know, I thought it was dark.
Yes.
My whole life was, this is going to sound so silly, I had the best life. I really did. I had loving and supportive parents, and everything I ever went for, I got, and everything I ever wanted, I got. And
lucky.
There was never any tragedy or trauma or
right.
anything
right.
that hit my life.
Right.
So, and I thought it was supposed to be that way. I had no gratitude or thankfulness for it because it was just supposed to be
sure,
that way.
Sure.
So when all of this tragedy started my way, good Lord, I had zero idea
right.
how to deal with all of this. So, mm-hmm. so you know what I did? I blamed God.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I blamed, well,
what we do, huh?
I blamed what I thought was God.
Right.
Yeah, and that's a huge, huge difference from what I actually found
yes.
During my SDE. So when you said darkness, it's like, oh, I lived in darkness for years until I discovered through the mm-hmm. SDE just how very wrong I had been about everything.
Exactly. And, you know, you being a presidential member of the American Association of Christian Counselors, that's interesting to me, too, because in just a bit also I wanted to ask you, you know, about our religions, all of our religions
right.
and how they depict right. God. But I want to sort of jump into your story here so listeners can get a taste. We're not going to
sure.
have a spoiler alert here, but...
I gotcha.
First of all, why are you so fascinated with near-death experiences and SDEs?
Well, you know, before I had the shared death experience, I never even thought about anything,
uh-huh.
if I even knew about it. But once you have an experience like an SDE or
right.
a NDE or another phenomenon that's close to that,
mm-hmm.
it is you want to get back to it.
Yes.
You just want to get back to it. It
yes.
is it is so life altering.
Mm. Yes.
It is so magnificent and so pure and so loving and so, you know, all of those adjectives that
yes.
where there is not one
right.
that to really describe it. And you want to get back to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you also want to see who else has had something like you just had.
Right.
I guess it's kind of a validation.
Wow, was it ever?
That you haven't gone crazy, you know?
Yeah, right.
Because it's very confusing at the time, even though you know exactly what has happened,
mm-hmm.
you know exactly where you were,
yeah.
you know exactly who you're with. When you are, I'm going to use the words brought back,
mm-hmm.
it is still absolutely confusing, and you find yourself saying, whoa, what was that? What just happened to me?
Mm-hmm.
And so you automatically start searching for people who have had that experience or people who know what that experience was and can try and explain it to you. But that's exactly what I did, and that's why I went into psychology.
Sure.
Because I thought if I worked with these people, maybe I could be with them when this happened and somebody would take me back there again.
Oh, bless your heart. I don't want to leave the light. I want to go back.
Yeah, and that was it. I,
yeah.
you know, I didn't. I can actually remember. I mean, I remember all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember thinking, oh, I just don't want to stay here.
Oh, yeah.
But I knew I had no place there. I didn't belong there yet.
Right.
It wasn't time for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I had to come back, and I was not happy about that at all.
Right. Exactly. I bet you weren't. I know. Guys, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch here with Dr. Michelle and my special guest, Dr. Sharon Prentice. She's the author of a wonderful book, her latest book, Becoming Starlight, A Shared Death Journey from Darkness to Light. And there's some wonderful experiences that you share on your journey. especially with the shared death experience that you had when your husband passed, you know, with mm-hmm. him. Can you talk a little bit about some of the difficult, you know, losses that you've experienced and, of course, the wonderful and enlightening experiences you've had? And then maybe we can sort of segue into what went on with your shared death experience.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Like I said previously, my life was just, you know, fun. I just kind of drifted through it and, you know, everything was just absolutely wonderful. School was great. I liked it when I liked it, and I didn't like it, I'd, you know, just go where I wanted to go and do what I wanted to do, and nobody ever judged me or said no. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got married to just an amazing, amazing man, and our life held nothing but promise because I didn't know that there was anything else. I really didn't.
Yes.
And then when I got pregnant, it was a very, very hard pregnancy.
Mm.
The first time in my life anything traumatic was happening to me.
Mm.
And I just did not know how to deal with any of it.
Sure.
And I lost her a couple of hours after she was born.
Aww.
She died in my arms. Mm. It's still hard to talk about.
I know.
She died in my arms. And when she was born, it was... I was scared half to death because I knew what was happening. She came about a month and a half early.
Yes.
And I knew what was going on, and I knew I was going to lose her.
Mm.
And I think I prayed more to this God that I thought I knew, that I thought I knew what God was. And I just, you know, all of the prayers where you make deals, you know.
Sure.
Take me, not her. I think I made every deal in the universe.
Sure.
and then when he took her, I just fell into an abyss that had absolutely no end. It was just absolute darkness, and I didn't share it with anybody.
Aww.
Not my husband, not my family, no one, because I knew it had happened, but I didn't want to deal with it.
Right.
I knew I was going home without my daughter, but I didn't want to deal with it,
mm-hmm.
and I wouldn't admit anything except anger and rage and hatred.
Yes.
Of God
and
life, life in general.
Sure, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, I do.
And at, and at the same time, my husband was getting sick. And, you know, you never think that it could be anything horrible because, once again, I was living in this fantasy world that I was creating for myself.
Sure.
And he was getting sicker and sicker and sicker. Well, to make a long story short, he was military. And what he did, he helped build the electronic warfare on our battleships. And so his body was constantly being bombarded with every type
radiation.
Of
radiation,
wave
yes.
or whatever that you're never supposed to be bombarded with.
Sure.
And and he was eventually diagnosed with pancreatic cancer.
Oh, honey, I'm so
and
sorry.
So here we go again.
Oh, my God.
That abyss that opened up really had no end because I just kept on falling into it.
So you lost your faith.
And
you lost your faith.
I lost everything, including me.
Sure.
There was nothing of me left anymore, and I knew I would surely stop breathing.
Right.
And he also died right there in my arms.
Hmm.
And if it hadn't have been for that shared death experience, that God, the universe, his love, whatever, showed me when he died. I don't know if I would have been able to survive it.
Right, exactly. Wow, that's... So what did God or the source, or what were you shown? And can you sort of describe how this went down with your shared death experience?
Most people don't know what a shared death experience is. They think it's just being with somebody, you know, helping them through their death.
Right.
Most everybody knows what a near-death experience is.
Sure.
I don't think there's too many people that haven't heard of that.
Yep.
A shared death experience is almost identical to the near-death experience, except one glaring exception.
Mm-hmm.
It does not occur to the person who is dying. It occurs to someone that is with them.
Yes.
By that, I mean, they can be sitting right with them. They can be across the room. They can even be across the globe.
Right.
And somebody, somewhere, something for me, I've questioned this so many times. It's God and Steve together, I think. God intervened in his own plan to take me with him and to actually show me the aftermath, aftermath of spiritual death.
Yes.
So that I could see where Steve was and where my baby girl was. So that's a shared death experience. Someone actually being invited along with the person who has died to see what's out there.
Wow. Wow, Sharon. So paint the picture. So you're in the hospital room with him, basically?
Right. And I'm in the hospital room. Mm-hmm. That morning, his tumor started to break up and started to travel throughout his body into his brain, and he was... He couldn't hear me anymore, and he couldn't feel, and he couldn't talk, and, you know, everything that goes along with that.
Sure.
I crawled up into the bed with him and just held him all day long. Our doctors were in there, and my parents were in there, and we all knew that it was just a matter of time.
Right.
Well, about 10 o'clock that night, I realized that I hadn't even had a drink of water or anything, so our oncologist, who was a very good friend of ours by then, came over to the bed, and he asked me if I would please just get up so that he could, you know, check Steve's vitals and all of that stuff that oncologists do. So I decided to go into the bathroom. So I just was splashing some water up on my face and looking in the mirror, wondering who in the world that person was, because I didn't even recognize me anymore. When I heard my oncologist, now I'm not going to say the exact words that he said because we're on the radio, but it was, what the heck? But it wasn't, you know. And so I went racing out of the bathroom, almost falling on the floor as I turned the corner. And Steve had actually rolled over. Yeah, it was, it was, that's why my oncologist was so shocked. It was, this is not something that was medically possible, but he did it. And his eyes were open, and I raced over to the side of the bed, and I knelt down in front of him. And kind of, you know, up on your knees, not all the way down. I was up on my knees so that my face was right next to his. And he was staring right at me.
Oh, my gosh.
And at this moment, you would think that you would say something so incredibly profound, you know? But the only thing I could think of to say was, what are you staring at? I mean, I think
it's
about that now all the time, of all the things I could have said. It was, what are you staring at, you know? And he looked at me with those gorgeous almond eyes of his, and he said, I just want to remember. And he breathed out, and I gasped in when he said that. Everyone in the room did, because it was just the most unbelievable thing. And when I opened my eyes, because I closed my eyes and gasped in, you know, taking in a breath, and when I opened my eyes again, I was so full of hope. I got to tell you, Michelle, I was so full of hope. Because of what had happened. I thought
he was alert.
You know, he had this reprieve. And, but what I saw instead was that his eyes had gone dark and he was gone. And I realized then that I had breathed in his last breath. And I fell to the floor. And what I remember is standing up, not on any volition of my own. I did not have the strength to do this. And when I did, the floor started, this is where it gets really, sounds really strange, but the floor just started to disappear. Even though I was standing on it, I knew it was solid. It started to disappear. And I looked up at the ceiling, and the ceiling was getting all misty, and all I saw was stars. That's why the book's called Becoming Starlight. All I saw was stars, billions and billions and billions of stars just coming at me. But then I realized they were coming for me, and there was a presence among these stars that was so inviting that I just went right to it.
Is that the light that they're always talking about?
That's the light. I just went right into this because I knew I belonged there. And, you know, I could see every single star. Every single star I could see separately, distinctly. And yet they were all one great, big, huge, monstrous, that's the wrong word, magnificent light. But what I wanted was go to that presence that was in there because it had my name on it. I mean, it was like calling me. And where I found myself, I call it that place. I don't call it heaven because the very second you say heaven, people go back to the picture in their minds of what they were told heaven looked like when they were a kid.
That big guy sitting
and
up
that,
there.
Yeah, and that's not what I found. So I call it that place. And I knew that I was in the presence of God. I knew it. And Steve was there. I could see him. He was standing right in front of me.
My gosh.
And once again, my, you know, vast intelligence of, you know, instead of saying something, once again, so profound, all I said is, I can see you, you know. I said, oh, my Lord, I can't believe I, you know. So it was, I can't believe, and he was standing there looking at me. He was well. He was smiling. He was so full of joy and peace.
Wow. Oh, that's wonderful.
And you know
what?
Yeah. You know what, Michelle? So was I.
Oh, that's
all
amazing.
Of that darkness and that rage and that anger and all that just blackness. It was just taken from me. I didn't get rid of it. It was taken from me.
Wow.
It was just gone. And all I felt was this overwhelming, unbelievably compassionate and understanding love. I know that sounds so cliche. You hear this so many times.
Yes.
But that's exactly what happened. And I've never felt anything like that before.
Wow.
Nor have I felt it since.
Sure.
And when I hear people talk about, you know, just love, that, that there's no judgment, there's no nothing, unconditional love, I always kind of have to smile because I honestly don't believe that unconditional love can exist in the human condition. I really don't.
Interesting.
After having felt and been in the presence of this.
Yes, yes. We just got an email here on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com from Angie, and she, you know, there's always those naysayers, you know, Sharon?
Oh, yeah. I know, always.
She
said, that's okay. That's okay.
She said, didn't you have this experience because you said you fell down and maybe hit your head? Question mark. Now, I thank you, Angie, for sending that. We love you. Thank you so much. But
you know what? It's okay. I don't.
Okay.
Here's the thing, Michelle. I don't ask people to believe
in
what I'm saying. I really don't. I know what was real. And and I got to tell you, Angie, in the beginning when I first came back and you're trying to deal with these things, if somebody would have told me I fell down and hit my head, I would have probably considered that for a minute.
Exactly.
Okay?
So, yeah, that's what happened to me. Exactly.
Because it's very confusing. Even though you know it's true, it's still very confusing.
Right. No, it's really true. So you awakened from this.
Yes.
You kind of came out. Was it hard for you to sort of leave that starry, beautiful, brilliant place? And were you pulling back
into your body? It was so difficult.
Yeah.
But I wasn't given a choice.
Yeah.
I knew when it was happening because I saw Steve going away. The smile on his face changed, you know, and he just kind of started to disappear. And I knew where he was going, but it was actually okay.
Yeah.
Because I knew that he was going to be with Stephanie. I just knew it on some level that, you know, I'd never been to before. I just knew it.
Yes, and Stephanie was the baby you lost, of course.
Yeah.
Listeners out there.
And so as that, the light started to fade, and I knew what was happening, and I just found myself deposited back in that dingy little hospital room again.
Oh,
it was very difficult. And I remember searching the sky right afterwards for just one little pin prick of that light, you know, so I could get back. But didn't happen because I realized I didn't belong there. I didn't have a place there.
Sure. Absolutely. Wow. What a story, Sharon. Thank you so much, you know, for describing that. That's amazing. So after experiencing your shared death experience, you express in your book that we're not our thoughts or desires and that they're just concepts based on something outside of ourselves. So, now here's the psychological part. How can we reach out and grasp all that is within us in order to, as you describe, open up that exhaustless light of love?
You know, one thing that I discovered from this, I mean, it changed my entire life and the life of my family and other people who are in the room. We are nothing but a conglomeration of all of our experiences, okay? We think we know who we are.
Right.
But one of the things, if we're really honest with ourselves and we ask ourselves, who am I really? The first thing that comes to mind is, well, here's what I do. And, you know, I'm a daughter and I'm a, you know, I'm a psychologist or I'm a whatever you are. And but when you get down to someone actually asking you, which I do with my non-terminal patients, who are you? They can't answer the question. That is the beginning. This is what I discovered. That is the beginning to fully realizing exactly who we are in this universe and opening up that light in our souls, mm-hmm. because as long as we have all these labels just slapped on us everywhere,
sure,
by family tradition or something we, you know, are told, this is the truth or that's not the truth, mm-hmm. or whatever, and we buy right. into sure. whatever someone else tells us.
Right.
Until we start truly questioning all of those things, which is really difficult to do in a family setting especially, because you don't want to, you know, get your whole family upset with you. But as
right.
soon as you start questioning who you are and ripping off those labels, mm-hmm. then you start to get down to the truth of who you are. Mm-hmm. And when you start to get down to that truth,
right,
that's when you come across, oh, hey, like Wayne used to say, I'm a spiritual being on this physical journey.
Right.
And once you really tap into that spiritual side of you, you cannot get enough of it.
Right.
And you want to stay there and you want to keep discovering and learning and all of those things, because that will take you to where you are supposed to be and take you to the light of who you are.
Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful.
Does that make sense?
Oh, boy. It does. Sharon, you know, you just said Wayne. Before we went on the air, guys, Sharon and I were talking about Dr. Wayne Dyer. And, of course, he was one of your mentors. And
yes.
That's amazing. And
He was an amazing, amazing man. I miss him every day of my life.
Oh, I know you.
He is really the one that said to me, make the story, Sharon, write the story.
Right.
Do the story. And I'm like, I can't write this.
Yeah.
This is way too vulnerable, because it
sure.
exposes
yeah.
all of my, you know, everything that you just don't want to put out
right.
there
sure.
For people all over the place to see. But he's like, no, you have to do this, because someone is going to benefit.
That's right.
From hearing your story, because your story is their story.
Mm. Boy, is that true. That's
so he was an amazing man, and mm-hmm. his death just affected millions of people around the world.
And it really did. I mean, he was just, he lives on. You know, he's watching over and saying, okay, I was ready. I guess
you know,
I just
he is.
To do that.
He really is. You know, one of the last conversations I had with him, we were standing in a lobby of a hotel, and I had just started writing it, and he was reading, you know, bits and pieces of it as
yeah.
he went along. And
sure.
I asked him, I said, do you think Steve and Stephanie know about Starlight?
Mm-hmm.
He said they already do.
Oh. That's amazing.
That's the kind of man he was.
Yes, he was. He's just beautiful. And also, your book, Becoming Starlight, it's just amazing, because the foreword was written by Raymond Moody. Of course, Dr. Raymond Moody, MD, PhD, author of Life After Life, Reunions, Glimpses of Eternity. I mean, come on. How cool.
He is.
How cool does
is,
that get?
I got to tell you, Michelle.
Yeah.
He is the kindest, most generous, loving man
yeah.
I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
He has talked to so many people who have had every type of experience you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a skeptic in the beginning, but having spoken to so many people who describe all of these otherworldly, if you want to call them that, experiences, he came to the conclusion that you just can't deny that these are happening. Science and medical technology and all of these things are now starting to say, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
There's something here.
Absolutely.
There's something here. And look at Eben Alexander, a neurologist, a neurosurgeon.
Yes. Yeah.
The experience that he had. He didn't believe in any of this either until he went
right.
through, and it's like, whoa.
Wait a minute. You know? There's something else going on here. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And Raymond's actually working on a new book right now.
Oh, that's great.
About God.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually getting ready to launch online platform for people called the University of Heaven, where we have all of these people that you just talked about.
Yeah,
And so many other scientists and medical experts and people who have had these experiences where people can go online and learn about all the things. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, and I'm sure Paul Perry's in there, too. He's remember.
Oh,
guys?
Yes, he is. Paul's there. And,
yeah.
and Paul works with Raymond quite intimately on his books. And then there's a lady named Lisa Smart, who actually founded the Final Words Project. And her last book, Words at the Threshold, where she is with people when they die, and she has recorded last words. And it is absolutely fascinating research. So
yes.
all of these people are involved in this online platform. It's going to be fantastic.
Ah, that is beautiful. And I'm going to give everybody information more about that, you know, as we move on in just a little bit. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest today is Dr. Sharon Prentice. She's written an amazing book. It's called Becoming Starlight, A Shared Death Journey from Darkness to Light, where she actually had a shared death experience when her husband passed. And in the book, she sort of reveals some of the lessons that she learned from that experience. And, you know, just I'm not going to be a spoiler here because it's just an amazing read and it will really help you out a lot. So some people say to me, you know, I want to experience these things. How can I experience these things? How can I force myself or put myself in a place where I can open myself? You know, it's sort of, there's the key word. Right,
oh, Sharon? Let me tell you. After right. this first experience, I did the same thing. I'm like, how can I reconnect? That's why I started doing what I do. Like I told you earlier, just being around these people, I was so hoping that somebody was going to take me with them.
Yeah,
exactly. I have asked myself that question so many times. Why did this happen to me? Why was I given this blessing out of so many people who would really deserve something like this? I didn't deserve it.
Right.
I went around for years just, if anybody even mentioned God, I would laugh at them. If anybody said anything about God being this, you know, amazing, benevolent, compassionate, loving person or whatever you want to call it, oh my goodness, I would send them, you know, running because I wanted nothing to do with any, I didn't deserve this. So maybe that's why it was given. I don't know.
Yes.
All I know is that here's what I think. I think this experience was given to me to save my life.
Yes.
I honestly do, because I just don't know that I would have survived all of these things if this had not been given to me. You know, there's a group right now out in Santa Barbara, University of Santa Barbara, called the Crossing Over Project. They are actually looking into this question now. Is why do these things happen to people?
Right.
Because there isn't really an answer. I mean, people from all over the globe experience these things, and we don't all have the same, you know, things in common at all.
Right, exactly. But they're described many times as the same experience, as sort of leaving, looking up in this bright light, and even, you know, people who are not religious and people who are, you know, brought up in traditional religious, you know, families, no matter what it was. There's some, you know, guy up there, you know, with a white robe and a cane and a long beard looking at
You're the chosen one. You know, I think that might be my greatest lesson there. I don't know if I'm jumping ahead from where you want to be.
No, go ahead.
So if you want me to slow down, I will.
Oh, no, this is great.
But what you just said, you know, was so true. I so blamed God. It was his fault. You know, he was coming after me.
Right.
And I would ask myself, what did I do, you know, to deserve these types of losses and these tragedies that I had no idea how to deal with? And of course you couldn't blame yourself. I mean, so you have to put it on someone. I put it on God.
Right.
And what I discovered, that every single thing I thought about God, everything I had learned about God from my parents, from church, from all of that, was so absolutely wrong.
Right.
It had nothing to do with what I found. I had been taught that God was this man outside of me, living in this place called heaven.
Yes.
I see Charlton Heston when I think of, you know, my childhood, what God looked like. You know, right straight out of the Ten Commandments, right?
Exactly, exactly.
That to me was God.
Right,
and all I had to do was be a good little girl, and everything would be fine. Well, that worked for me for a lot of my life until all of a sudden, you know, I got slammed in the face here.
Yes.
But what I found, my greatest lesson, I tell people this, my greatest lesson, my greatest teacher was death, because it was through death that I learned about life and I learned about God. What
beautiful.
I learned about God was that he, this is going to sound blasphemous to a lot of people, okay?
Okay.
He lives in me and I live in him. We are one. There is no place that he is not.
Yes.
He is absolutely everywhere, and you do not need to search outside of yourself for this person that lives someplace far away and is watching you from a distance. That is absolutely not true. It is his breath that you breathe. It is his breath that makes your heart beat. I mean, every single thing about you.
Right, right.
He is with you 24/7. Mm. He's part of you just as you are part of him. There is no separation. Mm. The separation that I made mm-hmm. between myself and what I thought was God, mm-hmm. that was my fault.
Right.
I did that.
Oh.
But I didn't know who God was.
Sure.
So there had never really been a separation
wow.
in the first place. He'd been there the whole time,
That's
holding
amazing.
Me up, calling
wow.
to me. I just didn't want to hear it.
Sure.
Because I didn't know who that was.
Well, maybe you weren't ready yet. I guess sometimes
yeah, I wasn't.
Ready.
I didn't
right.
want to hear anything good. I didn't
yeah.
want to be around anything joyful.
Yes,
I wanted to live in the victim status that I
exactly.
put myself into because it made my life easy because mm-hmm. I then did not have to face
right.
the fear and the anger and
Perfect.
You know the rage that I had created based
right.
on hating this thing that I thought was God.
Yes.
I wasn't ready to hear it because I didn't want to hear
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Why are you doing this to us? Why do you take people away
yeah.
from us? Why? You. Sharon, we have a caller on the line here.
Sure.
And let's see if we can pull this person up. Hi, you're on the air with Dr. Prentice. This is Dr. Michelle, not using my cough button. Who's this? Hello.
Hello, Dr. Michelle. This is Charles, first-time caller, long-time listener.
Great. Nice to have you with us. What's going on?
Thank you. I'm calling in because I'm extremely intrigued with your honor guest today. First of all, thank you so much for sharing this information. Very enlightening.
Sure.
Definitely hits home when I hear a lot of the things that Sharon's been sharing throughout the show.
Hmm.
Sharon, if you don't mind me asking you, I had an experience, and it is very similar to some of the adjectives that you just used to describe your experience and some of the experiences that you've had throughout your life. A couple years ago, I was invited to go to Peru and seek enlightenment through ceremonial plant medicine.
Okay.
This is obviously to be used in a very spiritual and respective manner,
okay.
right? This is not something that you do every week or every month or even every year. This is a once in a lifetime couple, maybe a few experiences in a lifetime type of experience.
Right.
And what I did feel is this sense of, exactly as you said, oneness, where that God source is me. And as you said, it's hard to speak with people sometimes and share the experience, and you say, no, I felt that I am everything, all time, all space, all that is throughout all of creation. It is in me. It lies within my DNA. It lies within the electromagnetic energy that beats my heart, right, as you just said. And I'm wondering if there's a correlation. In your book, you talk about the God particle. And I'm curious if there is a correlation between the God particle and, this other particle, the spirit molecule, right, that people have referred to before. Because I will say, in this experience, I did see geometry. I saw fractals. I saw sacred geometry.
Mm.
I saw visions of myself in the past, present, future from a third eye, from a bird's eye view.
Hmm.
And I felt all of creation within me. I felt like I could move mountains if I wanted to. And I actually believed that I started to move the water with my mind. And I know I did, right? And other
wow.
people were present for that. And I felt the connection with these elements
wow.
as I am these elements.
Well, thank you for sharing that experience, Charles. If
yeah.
I'd love to hear what Sharon's response is to this, because I want to give her the time as well. So that's amazing. Sharon, how
absolutely.
Do you respond
hey,
to
Charles,
this?
Charles, this is absolutely amazing. Can I ask one thing? Was this a near-death experience, or what type of experience? Were you sick? Were you taken? Is that what this was?
So it was a ceremonial plant medicine known
oh, okay.
as ayahuasca.
Yeah. Ayahuasca?
You know what's
yeah.
funny
what
about this? I absolutely believe every word that you said, because this, I'm sitting here with chill bumps as you were talking, because that feeling of oneness,
mm-hmm.
is absolutely amazing. Now, as a Christian, if you look back to just some scripture, you know, Jesus himself said, and I am not a religious scholar by any means, so I'm not going to be quoting scripture, but what he basically said was that we are capable of doing everything that he did, and then even more than what he did. And once we get tied into that oneness that we are with God, I mean, stop and think about this. Mm. Charles, I would love to have major conversations with you. If you think about who we are to him, Wayne used to say that we are expressions of God himself. Mm. And we are. We are here because he thought about us. So we are him. And getting back to that place, whether it's through what you did, or an NDE, or an SDE, or whatever, getting back to that place and truly realizing that we are all part of that tapestry of life, that we are all his thoughts, we are all combined, okay, we're all one. And when you tap into that, really tap into that, and really see it, I don't think there's anything that you can't do.
Right.
I really don't. I just do not think there's anything that you can't do. I absolutely believe what you said. Now, as far as the God particle and a spiritual component of that, you know, I don't know. I'm not wise enough to be able to say to you yes or no, but just for me personally, I would say absolutely positively. Mm-hmm. They could definitely be one and the same. Now, I did not have the experience you did. Yours was... I was there for a very specific reason, I believe, to see where my loved ones were so that I didn't stop breathing myself. Mm-hmm. Yours, on the other hand, seems to me like it was a much more global perspective of everything that's out there and everything that we're capable of doing. So, hey, man, more power to you. Sounds great to me.
Thank you so much, Charles, for sharing
that. Thank you so much. And so much unconditional love, compassion, and gratitude. So many blessings from my heart to yours. I really appreciate the confirmation. And I definitely can't wait to pick up a copy. Thank you. I can't wait to pick up a copy of your book. I'll be stuck to the pages.
When you finish reading it, please reach out to me. You can go to my Facebook page, Sharon Prentice, PhD, or go to my website and tell me what you think. I'd love to start a conversation with you. I really would. It's fascinating.
It is fascinating.
I would absolutely love to, and I would be honored. Perfect.
Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that with us, Charles. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for the confirmation. And thank you, Dr. Michelle. All the love from my heart to yours.
Thank you
so much.
All righty. Bye-bye now.
You know what's interesting? You know what's interesting, Michelle? Just about everybody I speak with has had an experience of some kind or another. It's just a matter of degree, isn't it?
It sure is. It sure is.
You know, whether it's you're getting chill bumps, or you hear a voice, or you have a really vivid dream that you know is real, or everybody has some type of experience.
Yes, I think. And if we're just sort of aware and saying, and don't chalk it up to, you know, that was just a thing.
Right.
Sort of like, wait a minute, this is something telling me I need to become more aware, whether it's the light within me or I'm just opening myself up a little bit more.
Right. And, I tell people, pay attention.
Pay attention.
That's all you need to do.
Yes.
Is just pay attention and don't dismiss all of these wonderful little miracles that come your way every single day.
That's beautiful. Beautiful, Sharon. And what's the best way that listeners can get your book and find out more about you and all of the wonderful work you're doing?
Well, the easiest way is, seriously, the easiest way is just go to Amazon.
There you go.
It's listed. Amazon. Yep. That's the easiest. Mm-hmm. You can order it through bookstores, but, you know, why go through all that hassle? You can also go to my website, www.sharonprentice.com, and you can order it right there. You know, you can send me messages there on my Facebook page. I try to get back to everybody, but since the book came out, oh my goodness gracious. I will eventually get back to everybody, whether they are naysayers or believers. I've had some wonderful conversations with naysayers.
Absolutely.
I don't ask anybody to
believe.
I really just ask people to have an open mind, an open heart, because they're missing so much of their own life by staying closed up and not accepting all of the spiritual things that are out there just waiting to fill them up.
Sharon, thank you so much for sharing that with us, with all the listeners. It's about that time. We're going to have to wrap up, but gosh, anybody who's interested in the question of life after death, that's probably every soul on the earth here. You need to read this book.
I think so. I really do. Everybody is, because people try to get over that fear, you know?
Yep. It is. They do.
And stories like this, that's why I tell people the story.
And Sharon also gives some really wonderful ideas on how to open that up in your heart and how to get in touch with these, you know, the higher levels and, you know, just sort of the higher power within you. So it's Becoming Starlight, A Shared Death Journey from Darkness to Light. Dr. Sharon Prentice, thank you so much for being on the show today. You're just lovely. Thank you.
I loved it. Anytime at all, we could keep this going for hours, lady.
You could, girl. I tell you. All right. Oh, I know. Blessings to you, and thanks again for sharing this with us today.
You too. Thank you so much, Michelle.
All right. Bye-bye now. Again, guys, the show will be up in the archives as soon as we get off the air here, and I'll have all the content on how you can find out more about Sharon and get a hold of her book. Again, rerun, download, and all that. All my shows are also available on iTunes Podcasts on the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Thank you so much for being here with me, guys, today. So cool to have you tuning in. I see a lot of listeners came in today, and it's up on the board. Thanks for lighting it up, guys. If you have any questions or comments, you can contact me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Otherwise, do take care of yourself first. See, that's the way it works in the world. Then you'll be great for others. All right, have a good week. Next week, I'm going to be helping you out with a lot of your unresolved issues, some good suggestions and ideas. Bye-bye now.
Tonight, seeing flashing rays of colored light.